Of course it will take many years to get there, perhaps decades of years, but now is a good time to prepare yourselves so that your sciences advance to benefit and not prejudice you, to construct a protection for the beings who inhabit the Earth. The Earth is a colony rich in genes of diverse forms. The multitude of races shows that it is an exceptional colony for re-implantation. There still are civilizations more or less pure. The threat does not only hang over your planet, but all your solar system is exposed. I have told you before that in space it seems like the bodies move in harmony, but it is not exactly thus. Some move slowly and others complete their orbits more rapidly. Above all those bodies whose mineral characteristics make them slighter, not in weight but in conductivity, react differently with each other. It is as if the travel of a planet is facilitated more when it has more of this so-called electrical energy. That is an example only to illustrate what I am trying to say. Well then, some travel several times their own system or galaxy. Your planet, in doing this, has already entered the influence of those photons on many occasions. It has not penetrated them directly, but the influence was felt from millions of your kilometers of distance away. Nevertheless, around your year 2024 or 25 you will feel this influence ever more strongly. But your scientists will think that it is a new kind of energy coming from space. The photon threatens from the gigantic depths of the universe. This and the magnetic band that surrounds your planet presents the greater danger for the future of your humanity. In earlier times, at least 14,000 years ago, your planet passed through the girdle of photons. The disasters did not leave much hope, though many of the reptiles did not suffer as greatly as before, because the influence was light. And even so, the elements were released, the Earth lost its orbital coordination. But then the Earth did not have the great number of human beings that it has now. What was it that happened? Well, I must tell you that many things occurred. You still had not entered the photonic band, and already the oceans were agitated by great turbulences and the terrestrial plates were moving. The animals suffered gigantically from molecular stimulation, and this was scarcely the beginning. The scientists from other worlds knew the approximate nature of this phenomenon, and their technology brought them to construct great subterranean caverns and structures which at a determined time would be able to repel this type of aggressive energy. One advanced civilization had come in anticipation of the problem and they constructed an enormous cupola on the bottom of the ocean. As you know, hydrogen and oxygen, H20, repel all kinds of radioactivity, and they knew this. But the cupola did not have sufficient capacity for all the inhabitants, even though there were not too many then. They made the selection and took down those who now, notwithstanding the conditions, were in agreement and believed as well that at least 10 years in the depths of the sea would be needed to survive and continue, without suffering the damage possible. As a result of the influence of the antigens, the least tiny error could provoke unforeseen damages. Incredibly many people remained on the surface facing the dangers. Others were able to descend and many more entered the deepest of the great caves that had been excavated in the Earth. Many disappeared completely. The scientists of my planet, my father among them, were desperate because they saw the Earth so threatened, and did not know how to explain the threat to the terrestrials involved. The scientists of my planet came to the Earth to help. Some descended to examine the cupola. They examined and selected some animals. Due to the fact that the cupola could suffer from overpopulation, the majority of the mammals were subjected to a prolonged glandular hibernation. This treatment of the glands is completely inoffensive with our procedures, because they can be re-stimulated when proliferation of the species is desired. If the scientists of your world knew this, they would not utilize so many chemical compounds to avoid uncontrolled conception. Why didn't they construct the cupola on the surface? If the photon band should contain particles that consume oxygen, your humanity would not have much advantage and lacking this vital element could be extinguished as a humanity. This would not be the case in the depths of the sea because oxygen could be extracted from the waters. Professor Hernandez began to feel despondent over all these previously unknown to him, threats and the precariousness of human life on Earth. He worried a good deal about the fate of Earth humanity, and wondered how other planets successfully survived such things in their natural evolution. It was about this time also that Liar told him of even worse menaces, threats to his very survival, created by terrestrial man himself, such as we are doing in a number of ways today, without atomic, chemical and biological weapons of such efficiency, that they can wipe out all living things on this planet at the pleasure of the aberrant humanity that lives here. Liar told him of a terrible weapon created here on Earth in the past by men living here, that still could wipe out all living things and even the Earth itself. An antimatter weapon, from notes from Professor Hernandez's diary for November 1979, many civilizations have come to our planet in different epochs in search of more powerful weapons. Liar explained to me that beings from planets of higher knowledge intend to save them by taking them out of reach of terrestrial man, who day by day becomes more belligerent and aggressive. This information was given to me today, though I assured her, Liar, that it would be dangerous to give it publicity. Why tell it? The nations will annihilate each other for the possession of such a weapon. But before entering into personal reflections, I will tell you how it was that Liar brought to my knowledge what I have called the diabolic weapon. Today I am speaking of a most powerful weapon whose longevity has extended back over the centuries. An ominous aggressive force has been guarding in the marine depths this weapon, since our world has been studied for a long time by beings of other planets, with the intent to evade knowledgeable examination of their conformation. It was here that she told me, according to my memory, 6 million years before your own time, the continents were found to form only one territory and the nations were relatively close to one another. But then one night the sea swallowed an entire city which you call Atlantis. The race who lived in the center of this great continent were drowned when the land split in two. They had come to be highly knowledgeable, but their ambition to know ever more and more brought them to total ruin. There, in that large city, the greater Atlantean scientists struggled to reach martial supremacy. They wanted to control the galaxy, without having the mental capacity to achieve it. The intended result was to obtain absolute dominion over your world and of the whole system. Those, the Atlanteans, had come from the third planet of this solar system, which then was Muldk, today known as the asteroids. This third planet was a refuge for beings coming from Sion, whose powerful sciences had made them invincible. Nevertheless, those scientists were divided by frictions among themselves and some, also scientists, emigrated to Earth. The Earth then occupied the fourth place in this solar system. As colonists of the Earth, they became undesirable and intolerable to the inhabitants, who had been established there before, due to their perversity and the domination they exercised through their sophisticated arms and weapons, with which they subjugated the smaller nations. The Earth came to be an enormous receptor of beings coming from other worlds, of which the diversity of creeds and customs, as well as the genetic differences, was great. The recently populated planet attracted many civilizations, due to the richness in minerals it contained. At that time there was only one continent. Your planet was something like a great greenhouse, observed with great suspicion from the enormous planet Muldk. Once on the Earth, those emigrant scientists explored the origin of man, utilizing animals in danger of extinction, causing terrible and monstrous mutations between human and animal genes. They captured animals of other worlds for experimentation in fields not only of genetics, but of clones, and the monsters they produced in the laboratory were released more than once in circuses of diversion, confronting them with slaves and prisoners. Their experiments encompassed great fields of study, even coming to include tests of human resistance to poisonous gases, which provoked genetic mutations in the descendants of those humans, causing thus themselves uncontrollable epidemics, which isolated entire nations. Is it possible that the European tabloid press had a clue when they said that the current AIDS epidemic was the result of American biological warfare experiments that got out of control? And Dr. of Jumba Michael Wolf of MJ12, the AIDS virus is created in CIA labs with the intention of population control in 3. Word/Africa, the Maldikians became very worried. but the terrestrials were not interested in applying restrictions imposed in accordance with cosmic agreements, and they rebelled against the laws of Muldk, where the respect for life was the first mandate to be considered. There were great astronomers, who knowing the exact movement of each one of the bodies in your solar system, upon perfecting the antimatter weapon, discovered a way to modify the orbits of each one of them. The stars radiate energy in sufficient quantity to power ships at a great distance. Nevertheless, despite what they had achieved, the terrestrial Atlanteans were not satisfied with their accomplishments and wanted to reach greater power on the planet Earth than that which had been achieved by the scientists of Muldk. They had at their disposition many forms of acquiring dominion over science, but they did not know enough about something that disturbed them, antimatter. Remember, Professor, that antimatter surrounds matter, that here is more empty space in the galaxies than planets which it surrounds, after which then the nothing is much greater than that which itself exists. Moreover, the dead are attracted enormously by it. It is frequently asked in the same way that you ask today, where do the dead go? Over the years of profound study and experimentation, anxiously trying to control the power of the magnetic vortex that produces life, they succeeded in discovering the anti-magnetic origin of the same existence. They suspected that a powerful energy produced life, but they ignored the significance that it was that which sustained the nothing in the galaxy. They wanted to dominate the psyche in the human being, and the biological energy that moves man, as well as the dynamics that sustained the movement of the planets, the suns, and the stars. They were ambitious to obtain the immense power to dominate and subject the universe itself. Then it was when they came to perfect a weapon authorized only to the great civilizations, a weapon that converted living bodies into antimatter space. This weapon annihilated all, and absolutely all of a living being. You know that matter dies, but the energetic essence, bioenergetic psyche, survives. It is a powerful mental energy that retains a great quantity of vitality and whose memory persists through the centuries. This is the energy that moves you and me and all others. The planets which possess life, possess memory. Well, those Lesotlanteans, the terrestrians so to speak, of the time, upon creating this powerful weapon, were able with it, to annihilate also the energy that moves us, the same that you call spirit. But let us return to Muldk. Intergalactic law prohibited weapons such as this to civilizations or scientists such as those that demonstrated imprudence and insensible rebellion. The law of mutual respect was lost among the diversity of races and creeds that began to multiply on your world. Since the Earth, and your solar system, is on the edge of this galaxy, the terrestrials knew they were isolated from the greater civilizations that exist in the center of the galaxy, and for such knew that they were secure from any inspection on the part of those civilizations, at least for a certain time. That weapon possessed an anti-nuclear reactor and antinergy and was as well a molecular disintegrator, magnetic destabilizer, force neutralizer and receptor of energy of any class. With it they could control life and movement. The new weapon was called an antimatter device and it gave them a power never possessed before. The difference between the antimatter weapon and the conventional arms of that time was abysmal, enormous. The common arms they possessed could exterminate matter, but not the organic energy. But the new and sensational discovery, as it seemed to them, permitted them to destroy the psychic and spiritual energy of the human being. This weapon could exterminate both entities, the material and the spiritual. Pardon, Lia. I do not understand what you say with both entities, I asked. Ah, you give the name spirit and matter to those psychic and organic components of the human being. They both are entities. What you call spirit is indestructible by conventional death. Its energy continues even after death. But this weapon absolutely exterminated all of the vibrational or psychic being, whether it was in motion or not. And once it was activated toward an objective, it would destroy it, searching out the sound, being guided by the respiration of people in the area or by the expiration of the vegetation. It leveled entire cities and forests, being the only absorber of all its energy and could disintegrate them. This weapon alarmed the rest of the Maldekians, who sought without result for ways to resist it. Its powerful force exterminated all living cells, no matter how small they were. It could change or modify the course of any planet, no matter how big it seemed, and could provoke catastrophes in solar systems such as yours, causing collisions of the orbiting worlds by creating an anti-magnetic vortex current. The creation of this monstrous weapon worried the Maldekians so much that they felt responsible for whatever might happen on the Earth. They were decided by Such to come to your planet to finally try to dissuade those to abandon the project and return to the times of peace. But it was already too late. The terrestrials having advanced too much, knowing that this gave them ample power among great interplanetary scientists. The Maldekians, repeatedly confronted by the resistance of the terrestrials, decided by themselves to deactivate this weapon, though they knew that they risked the stability of your world. Despite all, their intentions were in vain. The terrestrials decided to shield this weapon beneath an enormous pyramid which they guarded day and night. Upon seeing this, the Maldekians declared war, which lasted almost 1 year. It was a belligerent confrontation as difficult as powerful between identical force structures. Nevertheless, the terrestrials had decided to use the weapon when the time came. Once more, in the midst of that conflict, the scientists of Maldek returned to negotiations to convince the Atlanteans to desist in their decision, but the latter responded with more frequent bellicose aggressions. They would not abandon that symbol of their new power. The terrestrials were not prudent nor characterized by respect for cosmic law, always having violated those of their own civilization. Upon refusing to deliver or to deactivate this weapon, which nullified cellular life and threatened technology, all bio-organic energy, and the peace of the solar system, they reinforced anew the fraternal struggle. In the fury of battle, the terrestrials lost terrain. Greater civilizations of other solar systems came to aid the Maldekians. It was then when the terrestrials decided to activate that powerful weapon, focused to make the planet Maldek lose its magnetic field, to the end that it would provoke collisions with its nearer planets, the nearest being Mars. Upon losing its orbit, the planet Maldek lost enormous amounts of energy. The scientists discovered that Such had been lost and one night decided to destroy the powerful force that encouraged the aggressiveness and the power of the terrestrials. A powerful ray projected from the Maldekian laboratories fell upon that great city, Atlantis, dividing the continent in two, and it was this that opened that great portion of the Earth, and that fatal night the entire city was drawn completely beneath the ocean. Other lesser cities had been alerted that a great inundation was about to flood inhabited land, and some of those constructed, with the help of the scientists of Maldek, enormous embarkations, in which they rescued those who desired to flee such danger. Upon dividing in two, the enormous continent broke up and killed also many innocents, sinking slowly into the sea that had surprised the great city, and displacing the divided territories, one toward the east and the other toward the west, losing the magnetic pole of the Earth. From then it is still errant. The Earth, your planet, changed its orbit, and during much time, great inundation fell upon innocent nations ignorant of that conflict. Today the continents continue moving, causing the emergence from the waters of territories that were submerged in that night. Your world is in continual movement since then. The planet Maldek continued losing orbital energy for some time, until its inhabitants emigrated to other worlds which gave them asylum. Finally, the planet entered on collision courses with Mars and Jupiter, and even your own Earth. Its enormous aerolites fell like a rain of stars on the adjacent planets. Some of that cosmic dust still is found in the rings of Saturn, and others were reaccommodating themselves in the region that today you call asteroids. That weapon remains within a great pyramid on the bed of the sea off the state of Florida, between a string of islets you call Bimini. I looked at her incredulously. She knew that I was not very sure to admit and to digest that history. I felt humiliated. Subtly I asked, "Is it still in the ocean?" "Yes, Professor," she responded. "And the stellar community is worried now more than ever, because the sun's rays now and then provoke the activation of its force, which, though weak, still can provoke magnetic changes on your world and molecular disintegrations. This antimatter weapon still manifests its terrible effects in imprecise form, but with sufficient frequency for the scientists of your world to be attentive to what occurred in that place. It makes the compasses, the communications, and the marine navigation suffer alterations with considerable regularity. It still moves energies in vortex when it detects living energy in its surroundings, once activated by solar force, and its antimolecular field is stimulated when it detects any kind of apparatus moved by reaction. In fact, it moves with a sound. It still is manipulatable and highly dangerous, and for you there is no way to get to it on pain of exposure to its force, as destructive as it is powerful. After so many years, is it still as deadly as you say? I asked. Actually, Professor, she responded whatically, there are still many stellar civilizations striving to obtain it and, though not obtaining permission from the greater civilizations, travel to your world, to study, to analyze, and to seek to extract it, but neither they nor yourselves, but only greater civilizations who have sufficient knowledge and who totally control antimatter and antimatter, can deactivate it. Can you do it, Lya? Of course, Professor. Remember, that pertains to a scientific and exploration group, but it would be such as to expose your planet to the emission of antimatter forces. We profoundly respect life, not only material, but energetic as well. Our principles are based on care for the species and the nurturing of them. Could we someday control this adequately? Under your present circumstances, no. The scientists of your world, with your science and your knowledge, still do not understand perfectly the control of the forces of hyperspace for navigation. For that you need enormous forces of energy to control your ships. The exploration of space will cost you millions of hours still before you understand the dangers of space. Because of that, you could not control it sufficiently to bring it to the surface without your people suffering terrible genetic effects. Upon bringing it to the terrestrial surface, cities situated hundreds of kilometers away could disappear in an instant, as has already happened in antiquity. The extraterrestrial ships could do this, but the evacuation of energy would be fatal to many of you. Only a very advanced civilization could do it. Otherwise, the magnetic field of your world suffers notable modifications. Those other civilizations of which you speak, do you know their location? Effectively, Professor. The antimatter emission is detectable by our sensors. Many cosmic civilizations know its location. You will know also, because very soon the scientists of your world will try to get to where it is. But few or almost none know really what it is, and what it represents, much less detecting its origin. Many ships which pass through this anti-magnetic field, launched towards space, suffer alterations in their navigation program, for which accidents sometimes happen. Such ships with their energy force stimulate the anti-magnetic power by their passage. Lya, is it really possible that the American scientists have already detected this? Of course, I already said before that some scientists are worried by what occurs in that zone, but listen carefully, Professor, your destiny is being slowly changed. I did not say that you are elected, but if you are fortunate enough to know this, you should not release this information due to what happens to a world without cosmic supremacy. We believe that your world should know what exists there. And we also believe that your society must become more peaceful before having the exact knowledge of this weapon, to be able to accept the idea of living in peace and never use it against any civilization, but already there is not enough time. Beings of other minor races, rebellious, imprudent, and ambitious, would take it at any price. They know that if they leave it there, someday it could be used against them or against others. Today the terrestrial generations are moving toward more belligerent confrontations. On our world, as on many others, the children are trained to the consciousness of the living being and intelligent as such, because they know that someday they will inherit the planet, then later they try to develop optimum courses of quality and higher intelligence. But the children of your planet live in violence day after day. All of your marvelous apparatus of communication show them wars between one and another country without them knowing exactly why they fight. The continuity of these events predisposes them to aggressiveness. The parents exercise no control over this, because they don't know how to do it. The best and the worst of these assurances are being given from the bosom of the home. And those are the generations that will someday guide the destiny of your planet. The level of superhuman consciousness is unknown. The respect for life is discarded. Love is conditionally controlled, without knowing that this is the sentiment that must improve as the beginning of respect for people. Human values do not exist as such, and even continue showing the child a world without love, full of violence, of hate, of rancor, of ambition and of ignorance. Your world is one of those produced by diverse ideologies tarnishing this beautiful blue planet. Discordances of pride and power strive to show that peace is only obtained by war, subtle as well as perverse circumstances in a decadent world. You still have a place in the galaxy. The civilizations that survive, acquire a place by right. If a society or civilization does not survive as such, it has no right to possess this weapon nor any other. Because it is demonstrated arbitrarily in the control of others, it will have no right to knowledge of this. Too many wars, Professor, have filled the fields of battle with blood. For what then would you possess such a weapon as this? It would only serve you for the destruction of one another. The first universal law is knowledge. After this one obtains possession. If you prefer to guard this that I have told you in secret, then do it. I'm not obliging you to tell it. But it is important that your world know that they must reevaluate their own attitude toward their own planet. Your sciences, Professor, have destroyed vast lands in honor of nuclear experiment. You are destroying your own habitat. It is giving birth to a new generation of aggressive irrationals. But you yourselves are the only ones capable of changing this. No, Lya, I will not gift this knowledge to the world. If sometimes someone should die because of my trying to withdraw this threat to humanity, I feel that to live would be sterile. The world, my world, is not prepared for this power. Toward the end of 1987, Professor, you will encounter really alarming signs that beings of other worlds intend to come to your planet from different spatial coordinates. That weapon, as bait, attracts extraterrestrials of diverse races and of distinct level, which still has not encountered the method of developing one similar. If someone decided to try to recover it, you would be exposed to its immense disintegrational field or could go mad if this field is weakening. Many animals in migration avoid by instinct passing where this weapon is found, though I can tell you that in one night entire flocks were literally swallowed up by the Anshinergy without your being told. Life in space is uncertain for the Anshinergy that surrounds it. The worlds of superior intelligence survive. Hundreds of clouds of antimatter swarm to the length of entire galaxies, absorbing celestial bodies in their passage. This I have already explained to you before. That civilization which does not know these dangers succumbs before them. For that, the knowledge of the great intergalactic scientists is important, since only they know the great mysteries enclosed in the universe. My father is a great scientist. We know through him the most secure lines of intercosmic navigation. Well, this force is concentrated in a small receptacle, fixed in some place between those islands that I mentioned. There will come a time when you will work on molecular and antimolecular disintegration, without utilizing the atomic level. It will not be easy, but neither impossible, since you possess the genetic level for the investigation to develop it. You want the power of a planet, without having discovered still the secret of longevity to enjoy the gains that you actually have, for so small is the ambition and much less the time that you live to see the fruits of this science you contribute to, but continues to advance, even if those who control all these forces are children today, those to whom you have brought aggression and violence. The time that it would take to deactivate this weapon by the scientists of the most advanced countries of your world, would be unpredictable, as would also be the effects that it could cause. But someone or a group could begin to undertake the idea of the deactivation, always with peaceful intent, on the contrary of which your world would be converted into an arid planet, like many others in the universe, if for some reason they moved with imprudence. Also, I must tell you that some scientists of your world are experimenting with weapons of such sophistication that it will not take long before they come to understand the nature of the antimatter which the ocean guards. I say to you, Professor, You who has studied high levels of nuclear energy for your world, and what in our levels still is found in primary phase, understand that it represents a grave threat to your world, but also for ulterior civilizations. Lia, don't you think that it would have been preferable that you not admit me to this? I would not be loyal with you, Professor, if I shut up, without advising you of problems that confront your civilization. This is the most terrible legacy that you have received from the past, which nevertheless you do not know.